It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's up, everyone? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the LA Kings for the final time of the season. The Sharks coming off a Monday night 4-2 loss against Seattle, which I felt was not a bad game by any means. It was just one that they were not able to get themselves back into, and they, you know, played all right. I thought that giving up a goal 30 seconds in certainly did not help their chances, but they've got a good chance to bounce back tonight. And I think it's a similar situation to what we saw against the Blues, where St. Louis, you know, they're in the midst of a chase here in LA, 5 points clear of the wild card, or in the wild card, I should say. They've got a lot to play for, but you know, so did St. Louis, who, by the way, the Sharks will see on Saturday afternoon. And it'll be interesting to see how this does work out tonight, as LA is on the second night of a back-to-back after downing the Kraken last night. But to talk more about what's going on with the Kings and more, we are now joined by the longtime color commentator for the LA Kings, Darrell Evans. Mr. Evans, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Ah, just wonderful. How about yourself?
Oh, always excited for a game day. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of tonight's game, I wanted to ask you about looking at the Sharks where they are right now and thinking about what the LA Kings had to go through with their own rebuild. Because I think that, you know, from a lot of the Sharks fans' perspective right now, it's been a lot. It's been a down year. And just your thoughts of when the Kings were going through similar.
You know, it's always a tough time. And, you know, it's, sometimes it seems like you're in it for eternity. And I'm sure that's what the fans are sensing. From the outside looking in, you know, maybe it was, a little bit delayed in when they started the process, and, you know, maybe a couple of guys that ended up departing, being a guy like Joe Pavelski, you know, I'm sure there's probably some mixed feelings there with the fans seeing the success that he's having, you know, at this stage of his career. But, you know, regardless, you know, once you start the process, that's when you have to, you know, go all in, and that's where the Sharks are at right now. It's going to take a little bit of time, you know, because the amount of guys that they moved out, you know, wasn't just a couple of bodies, and it wasn't a gradual type of thing. You look at the last 2-3 years, there's been a significant change in the group. So they're looking for some young leadership to kind of step to that next level. And I think now that they've kind of, you know, cleaned things up a little bit, it'll allow them to be able to be more aggressive in the, you know, in the unrestricted market. Acquire a couple of guys that maybe are in the midst of their career that they can build around to help set a good platform for the young players. But it takes a little bit of time, and, you know, hopefully, you know, a couple of the young guys that you've drafted in high rounds, they make their way and, you know, start to cut their way into the NHL. But you just have to be patient. You know, everybody at any time goes through it. And, you know, there's a couple of the, you know, the veteran teams, you look at like Pittsburgh and Washington, they're going through it, and they're going to be going through it for the next couple of years as well. But they're both kind of hovering around a playoff spot right now. But it's inevitable that day is coming for organizations like that as well.
What are the, I don't know, the stepping stones or the checkpoints for a team as they do build their way out from the bottom back up?
Well, I think, you know, you have to, excuse me, solidify certain positions. I think, you know, you want to tie yourself into, you know, a goaltender that you can grow with. You look back at the blue line. I remember when Dean Lombardi was with the Kings, and he and Ron Hextall were very adamant that you had to build from the net on out. You know, you don't need, you know, the flashy guys that can go out and put the numbers up offensively if you can't defend in your own zone. Because let's face it, when it gets down to this time of year and you're in a playoff hunt, the game is very tight. So you've got to be able to play that style of hockey. So I think they have to build from the backside out. And that'll be a focus. They do have a couple of young guys that are, you know, upcoming. They got a couple of young, good forwards. And you look at Zetterlund, and, you know, those type of players. That, you know, they're making their way. But it's going to take time. And, you know, the quicker they can surround them with a little bit of a veteran presence. I think that'll allow them to be able to grow. And you've got to get the right guys in because you want to make sure that they're playing the game the right way, a complete 200-foot game. And that's where, like, the young players here in L.A. have had the benefit. You know, you step into the lineup, you're for defenseman, you're learning from a guy like Drew Doughty. Mm-hmm. If you're a forward, you're following the steps. They're trying to follow the steps of an Anže Kopitar. And now even Trevor Lewis, who came back this year. So you've got to have that veteran presence, that the guys that, you know, kind of have been there, done that, and they paved the way for the young guys.
One of the things the Sharks have had trouble with is game management. They've seen big leads, 3- and 4-goal leads, disappear. I think it's a phrase that gets thrown about a lot, but I don't know that it's ever well defined. What does game management mean to you?
Well, game management, it is, managing the game, but I think you have to break it down in small segments, especially when you're a young team, and I'm going to say inexperienced, and I don't necessarily mean not have played a lot of games, but a lot of games together as a group. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the coaching staff and management will find, their go-to guys, guys that you can trust in certain situations. But, when you do get in the game, and you're up a few goals, you have to manage that well. Sometimes, young players that are coming in, I think the young guys that come in today, because they have so much skill, way more skill than they were, 10, 15 years ago, they think they can outscore their mistakes. And that's not the case in the NHL. There's going to be nights you're going to get away with it. But when it comes down again to this time of year or in the playoffs, that's not going to happen. So you've got to be able to check. You've got to have a lot of patience in your game. And then when the opportunities do arise, you have to be able to take advantage of them. So managing the game, special teams are a big part of the game. You've got to tighten up on the penalty kill. One of the reasons why the Kings are where they are this year, huge improvement in the penalty kill from last year. And your power play has to contribute timely goals. So managing the game in all situations, breaking it down into small segments. And then after you do that on a game-to-game basis, then you go into segments where you can take a 5-game segment, 10-game segment, look at games against teams in your own division. There's so many different little parts of the game that you can manage, the offensive zone, defensive zone, the neutral zone. And when you start to, hit the checklist and you start marking them off, and, management and coaching staff can see the growth that everybody's buying in, that's when the success will come and you'll start putting the points up in the standings.
Kings right now are 5 points clear in the wild card, but what is the pulse on the team as of late, especially in the post-Todd era?
Well, I think, it's unfortunate when you lose a coach. A lot of the players, in a situation like the Kings went through with Todd McClellan, you feel guilty. You feel like you've cost a coach a job. Not only is he a really good coach, he's a great person. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's been around him, we've never heard anybody speak badly about Todd, and it's too bad. But now when you look at Jim Hiller coming in, there haven't been, drastic changes. It's just a different voice, DJ Smith has come in. He's added a little bit as well. But it's more just getting the attention of the players. It's a demanding and a grueling schedule. The Kings went through a real tough time when they played a lot of games in January. And when things weren't going well, the last thing that you need to do is keep playing games. You need practice time. And, Tom McClellan wasn't able to have that type of luxury to be able to kind of stop the bleeding, so to speak. But, you have to put that behind you and you have to move forward. And I think the guys are in a good mindset right now. There's no doubt that Todd has missed. They learned a lot of things from him over the last handful of years. But now they're under a new direction, and they're finding a way to battle themselves into a playoff spot. So they've got some work to do, but they're heading in the right direction.
What do you think the difference has been with Coach Hiller at the helm?
I think maybe a little bit more attention to I don't want to say more attention, probably more of getting back to where they were before. The identity for the LA Kings for the last 15 years has been defensive play. And when the Kings are playing their game and on top of their game, they're a menace to play against defensively. They get timely saves from their goaltending. The penalty kill is good. They don't take a lot of penalties. And, they just shut down the opposition. They don't give up a lot of grade-A chances. So I think that's where the focus has come. I know Jim Hiller's really pushed for the guys to step into the shooting lanes and block shots. And that's not just the defensemen. The forwards are doing that as well. They're doing a great job of getting in the lanes out at the blue line. And, it's you have to pay the price in order to get to where you want to get. But I think as a group, everybody's supporting each other. And those are the little things that are getting noticed. So it's attention to detail, shot blocking, maybe a little bit more physicality they're trying to play with than they did earlier in the year. And it's been a little bit of a change for them. It's a noticeable difference, especially on home ice. I think they've done a much better job. I believe now from the All-Star breakout, I believe they're now 10-2-1 on home ice. So that was an area that they struggled mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year, but they've seemed to be able to solidify that.
What do you think the difference is with Cam Talbot? Because if you go back to before the break, he gave up 5-5-5-3 in four consecutive appearances for him. And then since the break, he's only given up more than three goals once, and that was pretty recently. The rest of the times, it's been ones and twos with a couple of goose eggs in there.
Yeah, I think when you look at that, that's just a great reflection as to the way the team was playing. Prior to the break, the Kings were really loosey-goosey. They got away from their identity. They didn't check nearly as well as they needed to. And when you do that, you expose your goaltender, regardless of who you've got in goal. When you're giving up grade A chances to the opposition, you know, night in and night out, shift in and shift out, you're going to pay the price. And, you know, he was a victim of that. I know he played a lot in that stretch as well. So you can maybe say there's a little bit of a fatigue factor in there. He was seeing a little bit more rubber than than the Kings want to let their goaltender see. And so it's, again, just a matter of them digging the heels in and everybody buying into what they needed to do. And he, you know, for him, Todd, or pardon me, for Cam, you know, make the saves. You know, we're not necessarily looking for the highlight reel saves, but save the routine ones. And the Kings have been fortunate. Their goaltenders haven't given up too many soft goals this year where you can actually sit there and say, oh, boy, that one cost the game, really changed the momentum of a game. So that's what they expect from their goaltending. They don't have to be, stand on their head, but, make the routine save, keep the team in the game, and go from there. And they've been able to, kind of mesh the two together with their strong defensive play, get the saves when they need them. That's allowed them to win some games.
There was a very matter-of-fact aspect to that game against Seattle. Go out with a 1-0 lead, tack on two in the second, and I won't say comfortable, but controlled roll to the finish. What did you see in that game?
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good eye on what you saw. I thought they'd come out and they did set the tone right off the bat. They didn't give Seattle much early. And, a game like Seattle, I think they learned something from that a couple of games prior when they were in Calgary. The Flames, who had lost five in a row, they come in, they're loosey-goosey. Guys are, playing for jobs for next year, but not necessarily the desperation that you would expect. And, the Kings let them get into the game, and then Calgary took the game over right off the bat. And when you start chasing a game like that, it makes it difficult because, let's face it, there's a little bit of outlying pressure there, for the team that's either trying to get into the postseason or trying to hold the spot. And that being the Kings right now, they've got to make sure they pay attention to detail. So I thought last night they were a lot more dialed in, more of a complete game. They got some timely goals, the power play right off the bat where they scored on their first power play. That gives you a little bit of a boost. And being back on home ice, with the support of the fans, it's always good. To have that type of support, being around your family. They were off for an extended period of time. They were on the road for 9 days. So a little bit of home cooking coming back, and the guys are feeling good about themselves again.
It's obviously going to be a push to the finish here with the Kings for the wild card, and I'm sure that Jim Hiller wants them to keep on pushing to see what they can do to move up. But is there a word of warning about the Sharks? Would he say, look no further than what happened to St. Louis on Saturday night, who got blanked by the Sharks 4-0, and the Blues are in a it's a more unlikely chase, but they're still fighting to try and get into the playoffs.
Yes. Let's face it. Every team in the NHL, Sharks included, they have a lot of pride. These players all come from the same pool around the world. And I'm sure the Shark players right now, ownership, management, coaches, everybody, they're not happy where they are. So these guys are, again, they're going to play hard. And these are the toughest games to play, the games that you're expected to win. Is counting the Sharks out. And, I thought that, the game against St. Louis is just a great example of that. And again, having the Kings just gone through that against Calgary and understanding where St. Louis was when they came in here last week, that, those are the type of things you got to be leery of. You could outplay a team, badly, and, maybe you don't have a little bit of puck luck. You run into a hot goaltender. and anything can happen. So it's play the game, play complete game. And I expect the Kings to, you know, to come out and play hard tonight. It's not going to be an easy one. And I know the Sharks, you know, again, because of the pride that they have, they're not going to let the Kings just walk in and skate away with a victory.
Is it the first period where you're looking at things the most on the second night of a back-to-back? Because I know that always feels like the obvious one. And it's like, oh, if they have their legs during the first period, that's a good sign. But I always kind of say, like, well, maybe. Does it catch up with them in the second and the third period? Is it just, you know, is it managing what San Jose, I'm sure, is going to try and bring, which is a lot of energy in those first 10 minutes when a team on the second night of a back-to-back is trying to keep things under control?
Yeah, I think you have to play smart and you have to manage the game. I think the Kings will expect San Jose to come out and, you know, go right after them right off the bat. You know, it was reasonable travel for the Kings. Their game was at 6:30 last night, albeit they just came back from a 4-game road trip. So they really haven't settled in from that. But I think discipline plays a big factor in it. You don't want to get yourself in a position where you're taking penalties and then you allow the opposition to, you know, to spend some extra time on the power play, because automatically that, you know, for the most part, that puts you in the defensive zone. So I think the more time that you can spend at the offensive zone, get everybody into the game, you know, allow the coaches to be able to rotate 4-line 6-D and allow your goaltender to see the puck early. And, you know, you get yourself settled in and, you know, you make it a chess match after that. I think it's a game that when you go into on a second of a back-to-back, you've got to play with patience.
What's your take on the West as we get into the final few games here? I mean, it's, you got Dallas with 105 points, Vancouver 102, Edmonton, a couple back of them. You got the Avs, you got Win. I mean, I know the East is a beast. I'm not going to quiz you on them, but the first round of the Western Conference playoffs, Daryl, are going to be incredible, I believe.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the team that you mentioned right off the bat there, the Dallas Stars, I think they made a statement last night against Edmonton that, you know, they're for real. The Kings have played Dallas a few times this year, and in each of those games, Dallas has been very dominant. They've got great depth, a lot of experience. They've got size. They've got physicality. They get, you know, timely saves, a good defense. So they're coming along at the right time. Not that they haven't been consistent all year. Colorado, with, you know, when you have players like McKinnon, McCarr, and those type of guys, Rantanen, they give you a chance every night. Those guys are as good as anybody in the league. Of course, the Edmonton Oilers, you know, with McDavid and Draisaitl, that 1-2 punch is tough to contain. So Winnipeg, they're a good hockey club. I think, you know, Vancouver, you know, they've had one heck of a season. But when it comes postseason, it's, you know, it's now a matter of those, you know, the guys who haven't been there much, can you perform the same way? But I think the first round is always the toughest round to get through. That's where you see the most upsets. I think that once a team can get through a first round, I think you can kind of pull yourself together as a group. You can kind of take a deep breath and gather yourselves, and you build momentum from there. But that first round, sometimes it's a pick 'em, you know, it's a break here or there, a health of a hockey club, how many injuries you have or don't have, you know, some timely goals. This is where, you know, your third and fourth lines have to step up. Not the guys that you've been carrying you all year. You need timely goals from somebody else throughout your lineup. And if you get that depth scoring, that makes your team that much more difficult to play against.
Daryl, I'll let you go because now you've got a game to get ready for, but I appreciate your time as always, and I promise I'll be bugging you soon, all right?
I look forward to it, young man. Have a great show, and we'll look forward to catching up again soon.
Daryl Evans, everyone, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Always a good time chatting it up with him and getting his take on all things as it pertains to the NHL. And he went through it not too long ago with the LA Kings and their rebuild. So I really appreciated getting his perspective on what the Sharks were going through and, you know, where they were and what he is seeing. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens next for the San Jose Sharks in this offseason. I am intrigued to see what happens next. There aren't too many games left, which makes me sad. But at the same time, I do understand that we are at that time of the year. The Sharks, of course, after tonight, host the Blues on Saturday at 3, and then the Coyotes Sunday at 3 before they have their Tuesday night showdown against the Flames before they're back out on the road to take on Seattle, home against Minnesota, and then finishing off the year at Edmonton and then at Calgary. But be sure to join us tonight at 7 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network for pregame coverage. 7:30 go time as the Sharks play host to the LA Kings. We're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.